The Nepakiak shoreline is rapidly eroding and the school is less than 100 feet from the Kuskokwim River. The situation is urgent and the pandemic has made mitigation efforts even more difficult, but the village has had some wins, including their recently completed managed retreat plan. Here to talk about the community's efforts are managed retreat coordinator Walter Nelson, Max Neal from the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, Heather Gross, a civil engineer on the project, and also David Andrew, tribal administrator for Nepakiak. Walter, can you start by describing the shoreline today? What does it look like out there, and how did the river breakup impact things?
So the current measurements that we took, the school is at 97 feet from the erosion, and our main well watering point for the community is at 134 feet. And the southern end of the airport is at 580 feet. And this year, right before breakup, when the snow was melting, it had to drain somewhere. So the water behind the school started to drain to the Kuskokwim side, which created three big cracks that's running toward the school. So we've been monitoring that erosion portion, and we had to shut off the main access road to close it off from the erosion. It was too dangerous for the community to use that road.
Wow. So 97 feet from the school, and I've heard that you're losing, you know, up to 75 feet a year. So it sounds like things are pretty urgent there right now.
Yes, they are pretty urgent.
I understand that you completed a managed retreat plan. I took a look at it. It's pretty impressive. Can you tell me a little bit about what is a managed retreat plan and how will it help you moving forward?
It's a plan to move structures that are being threatened by erosion.
Max, maybe you can tell me a little bit about what's unique about this plan compared to other environmentally threatened communities and plans that they've put together.
I would say that this is the most comprehensive managed retreat plan that exists today. It's a tool for both community planning, but also to access resources for the community's solutions. The federal government doesn't have one agency that you go to say, we want you to help us with the managed retreat. Instead, you have to reach out to, you know, a large number of agencies. So it's very helpful to have a document that defines what the problem is and then also shares the priority projects. Here's the erosion threat. And these are our solutions. These are our projects that we need to be safe. Bottom line is it's a tool for accessing resources for the community's solutions.
Really impressed with how you started with the history, kind of an overview, and then went through kind of the history of erosion in Nepakiak and then, you know, into present and future plans. Heather, do you want to talk about that at all? I'm curious, what was the experience like for you?
I'm excited to start seeing some of these priorities that were identified in the managed retreat plan be implemented and continue moving forward.
As you've seen in the retreat plan, this is largely an immediate action plan to address the immediate threat and then pursue some science regarding what will happen with the river, how far is it going to push back? And then after that's, then the communities will make a decision on the long-term threat. It's an evolving plan. I'm sure the community will continue to update it as things change.
What about other communities? Because the latest assessments show that there are 47 YK Delta villages that are environmentally threatened. Is this something that other communities should be doing? And if so, what's the first step?
Yes, it's important to have some type of plan. If they want to call it a managed retreat plan, great. I mean, most other communities probably will follow a similar process of addressing this immediate threat, securing some science for the long-term solution, and then implementing that. So, you know, for example, that's what Akiak is doing after their mass erosion event a few years ago.
What would the first step be in creating a plan?
For a first step, I think something that Nepakiak has done, they have a couple of key people. Walter and David have been able to kind of mobilize the community and get everybody working together on the same page and kind of moving in the same direction. And they're really good at reaching out beyond the community to look for help. very, you know, relentless about, you know, contacting LKSD and saying, the school is in trouble, the school is in trouble, and kind of keeping them on step and keeping them going.
Yeah, I was in Newtok. I spoke with Bernice John, an elder there, and asked her what her advice would be for taking on a big project like a relocation or a retreat. And she said, find a relocation coordinator. That was like her number one piece. Like, you need someone in your community to really be helping with that piece and managing it kind of full time. So Walter, that's a big job.
One thing that we work out is having a very good team. It can be challenging sometimes when we put so much work into different kinds of funds that we are seeking, and then we find out, you know, it can't be funded. But we learn from the different grants that we are constantly pursuing. If we don't get funded, we work a little bit more harder toward the other funds, and sometimes we prevail in getting awarded. One thing, this position that I'm holding, is it makes things a lot go faster. We work it out with the community members here, and certainly speeds up the process of moving everything forward.
What's the long-term plan for Napakiak?
We're currently working with quite a few other agencies with the projects that are threatened by our constant erosion. And what this makes it so challenging is having to work out much needed hard, constant relocation to the west side of the community. And with this in mind, we are constantly looking for other avenues to keep this managed retreat position going.
David, do you want to add anything?
For the long reach transportation plan, we're looking at bridge from the village we're currently at, a bridge over the slough to the bluffs.
So a bridge over the slough and then structures on the bluff there. That's incredible to think about. And what are the barriers to actually getting them done? Max?
Secure the funding. Last year, ANTHC was part of a team that responded to a House appropriations request regarding infrastructure needs in Alaska Native villages responding to climate change. The bottom line is that there's an unmet need of about $80 million annually across the state. And that's of a total estimated need of about 90 to 110 million. The vast majority of the funding needed for community solutions to protect in place and retreat and relocate is not available today. We're all constantly working on that, trying to piece together the funding to do the work that's needed. You know, David Andrews, he was talking earlier about from the community perspective of managing all the funding that's come through.
Yeah, David, what's that like?
Quarterly reporting and learning as I'm going, and that's a number one priority for the grants. I'm lost.
Has anything been particularly helpful?
Yes, I've had support from the grants management specialist.
David, how many grants have you all received?
So far, we've received 2 HUD grants, 1 from NRCS, 6 grants from BIA. It's been a challenge keeping up or doing the core reports, but well, we've been keeping up with them.
And David, has most of that funding gone towards actual infrastructure, or does it tend to go to studies and assessments and retreat plans?
Yes, I'll help David out just a little bit. Most importantly, it's for the study, different kind of studies that need to be in place. So yes, most of the funds are for studies that need to be in place.
Wow, there's a whole chapter of fundraising that has to happen before the real fundraising starts, it sounds like.
The community has been successful in addressing some immediate threats, getting construction funding. So in 2018, there was a big storm, and that wiped out the community's boat and hovercraft landing area. So there was a project to solve that problem by constructing a new one. They've also received some funding to relocate buildings. However, there's a need to get more equipment to relocate buildings. AVCP came in for a big win in helping to fund road extension project. That's a huge win. So that was several million dollars. And to have another tribal organization come in to fill in a gap where no other federal agency could support that is just tremendous.
A couple of the other kind of on the ground funding actions that have come as a grant from Denali Commission to do the subdivision design and platting. So the surveyors actually just left. They have the new subdivision platted. It's going to go to DNR for final review. And then we'll be able to start constructing new house pads, which we hope to do this summer through a grant from ICDBG. We hope to construct about 8 house pads, and those will accommodate the homes that are closest to the river that are most imminently threatened right now. We may be able to address getting power out there hopefully next summer.
When you picture Napakiak 40 years from now, what do you see? What's the goal?
I think the goal is to have all your plans in place first. I guess that's the number one priority. We have no choice but to keep retreating to the new subdivision site. Mm-hmm.
Walter, David, what has helped you guys get this far, and what advice do you have for other communities?
From my perspective, your community needs to work together. That's my priority. Even if it's a different entity, they must work together
and meet with the community members.
David, can you tell me a little bit more about how community members were involved with the managed retreat plan?
They participated by attending and voting. For instance, where our boat and hovercraft landing would be, we had a vote on that, but we had a good turnout at that time.
You guys had wonderful turnout at your public meetings. I was very impressed at how well attended they were and how much feedback we were able to get and incorporate into the plans.
Yes, that is very true. Most things in our plans are mainly from our community members who give a lot of input and feedback into each and every one of our plans. And we are very grateful that we do work together to iron some things out that are also challenging. Heather, correct me if I'm wrong. So one of the studies I think is going to come around is from FEAA, DOT, and I think we're going to be funded for the road study and hopefully a new airport. We had a couple of unexpected site visits from the Alaska Army National Guard, the Adjutant General, who's also a commissioner for Governor Dunleavy. He sent out a couple of groups here to document what their situation is with our erosion. So we'll be hearing their report.
Walter, do you think the National Guard learned about this because of your managed retreat plan?
That's one thing that they had found out. It's going all over and we're getting calls. How do you do this? How did you work this out? So we're getting quite a few attention from this very first of its kind in the state of Alaska. And yes, we are getting a lot of attention from that.
It sounds like the DOT and the Army National Guard came out and they're doing studies now that could help to get an airport?
Well, we were really excited to hear that DOT is including Napakiak in their planning process for this coming year. They're going to look at the benefits of either building a new road between Napakiak and Bethel or building a new airstrip, because it's important that gets going as soon as possible so that they have a form of transportation before the existing airstrip is lost to the river. Walter knows more about the visit by the National Guard than I do at this time. I'm looking forward to seeing their trip report. It sounds like they did hear about the work in the Pakiak through the managed retreat plan.
David and Walter, I'm curious because the idea of a road between Bethel and the Pakiak, that idea has been thrown around for a long time. How do people feel about that idea of a road between Bethel and the Pakiak?
Well, for the time being, airport would be better. But in the long range, maybe a road to Bethel if we happen to move to the bluffs.
Walter, anything to add?
The road to Bethel, I don't think it would go anywhere soon, but yes, it would create more opportunities for Napakiak. And, you know, with costs of living, everything here is extremely expensive. If we did have a road to Bethel, you know, we would definitely have a win-win situation for the community.
Is there anything else any of you would like to add, including advice for other communities?
Have your community work together. That is a must and a priority for any community that, you know, may consider having a managed retreat plan on their own. And yes, we do get a few calls left and right saying, how do you work this out? How do you, and we emphasize always work together. That's, I just, there's no other way to.
And make plans for your community.
So Max, if there are other communities listening right now who want to put a plan together for their issues with erosion, who do they reach out to? What's kind of the first step?
Well, they're welcome to reach out to us. Our work is driven by community requests. We don't go out to communities and say, here's what we think you should do. They come to us. So they're welcome to contact our program. Phone number is 907-729-4521. Happy to have a conversation. That's usually where most things start.